You may be seated.
All right. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Happy to see all your faces. A couple of things before we get into the lesson today. As Rand said, I'm not getting married. I don't know if Warren's seen the bulletin yet, but I am not getting married. And I'm sorry to everyone who asked me that this morning. I looked at you bewildered. I thought you were just confused. So thanks, Jevin. No, I'm kidding. But we've got a couple of things coming up. One, tonight we have singing night. And some of you have already put in requests for songs that you like, and we're able to get some of those. If you have any songs that you'd like to hear tonight, you got to let me know now, because we're not going to be, not like last time we just shouted out, we're going to be a little more organized. So if you want it tonight, got to tell me before I leave today, this morning. Otherwise, I can't help you. I'm sorry. But yeah, just let me know if you've got one of those songs, and we'll try to make it work. And then the other thing is just to remind you guys, I know Rance mentioned it, but the door knocking campaign starts next week. They get here Saturday, and they'll be doing the morning service and everything Sunday. And they're sending a lot of people. A lot of people are taking a lot of time out. They're spending money. They're taking time that they could be spending with their families and enjoying spring break and doing all those things. And they're coming here to evangelize our city. So please, if there's any way possible, I know work and all of those things, if you have free time and you're sitting at home, come up here and help, even if it's just walk in, even if it's just being present. Your smiling face really, really means more than you can even imagine. And if you're not able to be there, just pray. Pray for the people that are being studied with. Pray for the people that are doing the studies. And just do the best you can to contribute in that way. Let's go ahead and get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come here, to be surrounded by other Christians, to be surrounded by the family, and to sing songs of praise to you, to worship you, because you deserve to be worshiped, and you alone deserve to be worshiped. God, we pray today as we study your scripture that we do so with humble hearts, that we listen with not just our mind, but we listen with our hearts, and we allow it to affect the way we behave and affect the way we think so that we can allow your word to transform us into better servants of you. God, we pray for this upcoming campaign and all of the evangelism that will be taking place. We pray that for those of us that are sharing the gospel, that we can say the right words, that you'll give us the right words to say, that you'll give us wisdom in the moment that we need, and that we can speak the truth in love. And God, we pray for the people that we'll be preaching to and the people that we'll be reaching out to, that they may have receptive hearts, that they may see your word for what it is and see you for who you are and come to know you and be saved. God, we thank you so much for everything, but we thank you most of all for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, today is the last sermon in the David series, and it comes at the very end of David's life. We started with David as just a boy who was very, very passionate, very, very go-get-him in his mindset. And we've moved through David's life, and we've seen so many different things, his high moments and his low moments. But now we're coming to the very, very end, and David is about to die. And today we are looking at his last words to his son, Solomon, before he passes away. And sometimes death is expected. Sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes it comes out of nowhere, and it's shocking, and it's heartbreaking, and you don't get a chance to say goodbye. And you don't get a chance to say any last words or hear any last words. But sometimes you can see it coming. And in David's situation, this was one of those times where he could see it coming, where it was coming gradually, and he was able to say something important to Solomon. I want to ask you, if you had the opportunity and you knew you were going to die, and you got to talk to your loved ones, do you think you would talk about things that didn't matter? Do you think you would talk about the football game on Sunday? Do you think you'd talk about the restaurant downtown that's closing down? Do you think you talk about rent prices or gas prices or the next election? Probably not. You'd be talking about the things that matter most, the things that are really, really important, the things that you care deeply about. And that's what David is going to talk about. He's not talking about the weather. He's not talking about chariot races or whatever sports they were watching. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about his son and, most importantly, his son's relationship with God. We'll begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, or 1 through 3. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." David, it says, is about to go the way of all the earth. When David's time to die drew near, he told Solomon, "Look, I'm about to go the way of all the earth." And I think it's important that David describes it in this way, because it's a reminder to Solomon and to all of us that we are going to die. And this is something that we forget at times. I had a teacher one time tell me, or a youth minister tell me, "Bad news. If you've ever eaten broccoli before, you will die one day." And I was like, "Oh, great. Broccoli's off the table." "But if you ever haven't eaten broccoli, you're going to die one day." Oh, man, it's a lose-lose situation. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. You will die. According to the CIA, there's 108 deaths worldwide per minute. 1.8 deaths per second. Almost two people die every second that passes. You can imagine the death toll just climbing and climbing as we're talking right now. I took a 30-minute nap yesterday, and during my nap, 3,240 people died during my 30-minute nap. Death is always happening. Death affects everyone. And unlike many things, it's extremely fair. It doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't care your race. It doesn't care your gender or your political beliefs. It is indiscriminate in how it affects people. And we all know people that we love who have died. We know people that we feel like are close to that point, and we ourselves may even feel like we're getting there soon. And I know this isn't new information. You're like, "Yeah, thanks for the great insight, Cole. We're going to die." This isn't breaking news, right? Everyone knows this, but not everyone acts like it. Not everyone behaves like death is coming. There are a great number of people who live and walk as if death is not coming and as if judgment is not coming. And there are plenty of people who will pretend it isn't happening and just bury their head in the sand. And when it comes, eventually you find that they're not ready for it when it gets there. I was in the car with someone one time, and their car hit the empty light. You know, you're out of gas, and we're driving, and we're passing by gas stations, and I was a little confused because typically when you're on empty, you go to the gas station, you fill up because you're going to run out of gas. And we just kept driving, and he said, I don't have that much money. I just don't want to think about it right now." And I was like, "Well, I will pay for gas because I don't want to walk." Well, no, he just wanted to keep going. He's like, "Nah, we'll be fine. We'll get there." We didn't get there. We broke down on the side of the road. And it kind of reminded me of Dory. If you've seen Finding Nemo, Dory is a fish who just says, "Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Like, don't think about it. Just keep swimming." And that was his mindset. Just keep driving. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, eventually you run out of gas. And a lot of people live life, they're going to die, but they don't do anything about it. It's like, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going, and eventually you run out of gas. Eventually you get to death, and you weren't ready for it. You weren't prepared for it. And I think the reason David tells Solomon this is that he wants him to know this is going to happen to you someday. And when it happens, I want you to be ready for it. Even kings like David and Solomon couldn't get away from this. I think David understood, what we should all understand, is that it's wise to be people who know we are dying, to be prepared for death and to be prepared for the judgment day that follows death. This helps us, when you know you're dying, to avoid being too attached to the physical world or earthly possessions. And it helps us make our time here count, whether it's for God or our family. When you know you're dying, when you know your time is limited, you'll probably spend less time on things that don't matter at all. Things that aren't of significance. I wish I hadn't watched so many episodes of Survivor. I think that's such a waste of time. It's like, I'm dying. I've got a limited period of time. Why have I wasted hours and hours watching a TV show? And so many times we waste so much time that we can't get back. We are dying. So that's the first point. Very encouraging sermon so far, right? We're dying. This is going to fire you up, right? The second point that David says is he says to be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God. Solomon is a young man at this time. We don't know exactly how young he is. He's somewhere in the 20 to 25-year-old range, depending on how old David was when he slept with Bathsheba, or when he married Bathsheba. Every father should teach his son to be a man. And I hope that everybody here has had that. There comes a time when you should stop thinking and acting like a boy or a child and start behaving and acting like a man. And the same is true for females. There comes a time when you should stop acting like a girl and start behaving and acting like a woman. And David, as he's dying, he's not going to be around to solve all of Solomon's problems anymore. He's not going to be there to fix everything when it goes wrong. Typically, you run to your parents, you run to mom and dad. You know, hey, we got a flat tire, what do I do? I've got all of these different issues, what do I do? Well, David's not going to be around for that anymore. And David's telling Solomon, look, you need to be a man. You need to show yourself to be a man because I'm not going to be here anymore. Now, being a man doesn't mean what some people think it means. It doesn't mean to blow stuff up. It doesn't mean don't talk about your feelings. It doesn't mean to be a bully or to be loud. It doesn't mean you have to walk around acting like John Wayne or any of those things. It means to be mature. It means to have an adult mindset, not to just be loud and abrasive. And he tells him the way that he can be a man is to keep the charge of Lord your God. He says, be strong, show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. He doesn't tell him that being a man means to take charge. He doesn't tell him that being a man means to go and make the rules. He tells him, be strong and obey God. Really follow God's rules. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies. Biblical manhood isn't about telling people what to do. It's about doing what God tells you to do. Biblical manhood starts not with telling other people what to do, but submitting to God first. Our world sometimes, unfortunately, sees submission as a weak thing. If they see people who follow the rules or submit to others, they see them as sheepish people, as weak people, too strong or not strong enough to do what they want. Our world sometimes sees kind, gentle, and peaceful people as weaker, especially if they're men. And it sees men who are rough around the edges and brutal, it sees those men as manly men, as strong, as independent, as fierce, the guys who just don't take no for an answer. That's a real man, according to the world sometimes. But if I asked you who the manliest man to ever exist was, who would you think of? I would think of who Jeremy was talking about during the Lord's Supper. I would think of Jesus. And I think that Jesus was the manliest man to ever live. He was kind. He was gentle. He was compassionate. And he was in complete and total submission to God the Father his entire life. Unlike many men, Jesus did take no for an answer. Jesus was willing to take no for an answer. In the garden, he begged God that the cup would pass from him. He begged God that he could avoid it. And God told him no. And he accepted that answer and went forward with God's plan. He denied himself and did what God wanted. That's what a perfect man looks like. Someone who won't take no for an answer. Someone who is easily angered. Someone who likes to yell and throw fits. That's not a man. That's not what Christ did. That's a boy. That's a child. Submission to God doesn't make you weak. And in fact, I think it's much harder to be in submission to God than it is to be in rebellion of God. Submitting and fighting against your own will is the hardest thing that you will ever do. And submitting to God is the most important thing you will ever do. David tells his son if he does this, he'll have great success. He promises that you're going to have this great success and you're going to have all of these things. And if you know the story of Solomon, you know that's true. Some argue that he was the richest person to ever exist. He became a destination people traveled to from other countries just to see. And even Jesus uses Solomon to describe glory and beauty and all of these things. And the same is true for us. Maybe not in a financial sense, but if you act maturely and you act as an adult and you treat God with respect and submission, he is going to bless you. Maybe not financially in this life, but definitely in the next. And the last thing David tells his son is kind of clean house. If you're looking at verses 5 through 9, I'm not going to read all of it. But after David told him the things we just talked about, he tells Solomon to get some things in order. There are some men who need to be rewarded for their faithfulness, and he tells them to reward those men. And then there's some other men who need to be punished for their rebellion. And two guys specifically that David says to punish are Joab and Shimei. Joab, because of his ruthlessness, he murdered many people throughout his tenure, but especially Abner and Amasa. And Shimei, because of his rebellion and cursing David. So these are two very, very wicked men. And two men that have been around for a long time, And Solomon is told by David now to get rid of these guys. In verse 6, he says, "Act therefore according to your wisdom. Do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace," saying, don't let him die peacefully. Take care of this issue. "Now therefore," and then he's talking about Shimei, "do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do with him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol." David wants Solomon to wisely kill both of these men. Both of these guys, David had plenty of opportunities to take care of, and he should have taken care of them a long time ago, but he didn't. David let them hang around, and as a result, there's still a problem here in his old age. David let them hang around for too long, and because he didn't take care of it when he was younger, now an older version of himself is having to deal with this, and his children are having to deal with this because he didn't take care of this when he was younger. And it teaches us that if you don't take care of things when you're younger, they will bother you when they're older, when you're older, and it may even bother the people that come after you. David does not want that for Solomon. David doesn't want him to make the same mistake. He wants him to clean house and to take care of these guys now. All the devil needs is for you to wait until tomorrow. I know we say that phrase a lot, what's always coming but never arrives, tomorrow. And I wonder how many times it crossed David's mind, Joab is a horrible man. I really, really need to take care of this guy. He keeps killing people. He even killed my son, and I'm not doing it. Maybe I'll deal with him later because he's helping me in a lot of ways. I'll just deal with it tomorrow and tomorrow. And now he's an old man on his deathbed, and he can't do it anymore. And he needs to ask his son to take care of something that he should have taken care of. I'll take care of my gossip problem tomorrow after all the juicy stuff is over. I'll start reading my Bible more and studying seriously tomorrow. I'll just wait. Or I'll get married someday, and then I'll be able to stop lusting. Then that problem will go away. Have you ever met an older guy that makes women or girls feel really uncomfortable? Maybe he makes inappropriate comments, or he's too touchy, or things like that. All that is a young womanizer who never grew up. At one point, that old man who objectifies women was a young man who objectified women, and he never stopped. And he maybe could get away with it when he was younger and better looking and all of those things. But now that he's old, it's gotten worse and worse. He never stopped it. So he's just an old man with the same problems. They say wine gets better with age. Well, sin ages like milk. It looks worse and worse the longer you let it hang around. The longer you keep it, it starts to look worse and worse. And it's worse to deal with when you have to clean it up eventually. I was moving into an apartment when I was at college, and there was two college students that were in the apartment before me, and it was at the end of a summer, so they went home for the summer, and I came into it was a duplex, I came into it after them, and they were supposed to clean the apartment out. They were supposed to clean everything out, take everything out, so that when we got back, there's not a mess. Well, I go in to move my stuff in one day, and I was probably about this far from the front door when I smelt it. And I didn't know what the smell was, and I gag easy, so you know I'm starting to gag and like cover it myself, you know, and open the door. And I opened the door, I couldn't even get inside. You know, I had to go get clothespins. I gag really easy. I'm almost gagging right now talking about it. But I'm trying to go in, and what had happened was they left potatoes in a cabinet. Well, it got hot and they liquefied and poured down the counters, you know, and everything. Disgusting, disgusting mess. I had to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get this all cleaned up and taken care of. Now, I don't know if you've ever moved a bag of potatoes. It's really easy to go throw a bag of potatoes away. It's really hard when you let it hang out forever and in the sun and liquefy and do all that's really, really hard to clean up. Sin's the same way. Problems are the same way. If you take care of it in its infant stages, if you take care of it quickly, it is much easier to get rid of. But if you let it hang around and you let it stick, you know, build a home in your life and you let it stay there, it is so hard to clean up later. David didn't take care of it when he should have. But now he's telling his son, don't make the same mistake. Clean house. Be urgent. And that's why he says, like, don't let him die peacefully. Take care of this now. Don't let his gray hair go down to Sheol. And the same is true for us. If you have something in your life that shouldn't be there, don't let it grow old. Don't let it live peacefully. Don't let it age. Take care of the problem now. Not tomorrow, not the day after, but now. Otherwise, someday you'll look up, you'll be old and close to death, and you'll realize that all those things you pushed off never happened. Maybe you'll be 90 and realize you never read the Bible like you wanted to. Or maybe you'll be 80 and realize you never shared the gospel with another person. Maybe you'll leave behind messes that your children have to deal with because you didn't. If there is sin in your life, do not procrastinate. Attack it now. So in summary, David wants his son to remember that everyone is dying. You, me, even kings, presidents, all kinds of rulers, we're all dying. Live with that in mind. Be strong. Act like men and women, not boys and girls. And a clean house. Not let sin hang around. Take care of problems now while you still can and while you still have the opportunity. After this, David dies and goes on to his reward, and Solomon reigns over Israel. Now, this is the last lesson in the Life of David series. As we talked about, there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. But Scripture tells us that even with all of the mistakes and all of the shortcomings of David, that he was a man after God's own heart. As you're looking maybe a better picture of his whole life, you can see that a person that's chasing after God does not mean a person that never messes up. It does not mean a person that never makes mistakes or falls down. It just means a person that gets back up. It means a person that repents when they're in the wrong. It means a person that tries their best and keeps moving forward. And the same is true for us. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have moments like Goliath where we do really, really good. And we're all going to have moments like Bathsheba or the census where we do really, really bad. What's important is that we come back from those mistakes. That when we fall down, we repent and come back to God and trust Him to lift us up. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for Scripture. Thank you for the example that you've given us in David and for this example that we can learn from. God, we pray that we live as people that recognize that we're dying, that we live as people that recognize that this world is not our home, we're just passing through, and that we don't need to be too attached to the things of this life, and we need to be prepared for the judgment day that is coming. God, we pray that you help us to be mature, to be strong, to rely on your strength, and to show that strength by submission to you. Help us to not be self-willed or arrogant or proud, but to humbly bow the knee to you. And God, we want you to help us take care of the problems in our life now. Help us not to procrastinate. Help us to work these things out with urgency and to take care of the problems. And if we need help, to ask other people for help and not be too proud to do that. God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. And we thank you for this relationship with you because of him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. If you guys have any needs, and I want to remind you again, campaign, please. Please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Whatever day you can, if there's something you can do. I think there's 11 spots on there that we need people jobs for. And I think right now there's like 4 on there. So we have like 7 other things we really need. So I want to let that be the last thing I tell you guys. But if you have any needs, if you want a Bible study, if you need prayers, if there's something you want to talk about, or if you'd like to become a Christian, or you know you want to become a Christian, you don't really know what that looks like, we'd be happy to talk to you. Come forward now as we stand and sing.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Thank you, Cole, for that sermon. At the end of David's life. Okay. If you would, pass your attendance cards to the inside aisles, and somebody will pick them up as we sing the last song and we have a closing prayer. Page 975. This is a fast song, but I'm going to slow it down, okay? I don't know. I've just been bouncing off the walls here lately. I don't know what it is. Okay. It's a fast song. Slow down, Don. Breathe. All right, here we go. Get right, church, and let's go home. Come on and get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, you better get right, church. Come on and get right, church, and let's go home. Somebody's calling my name. Oh, somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling, yes, somebody's calling. Oh, somebody's calling my name. I'm going home on the morning train. Well, I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home, oh Lord, yeah, I'm going home. Well, I'm going home on the morning train. The evening train might be too late. Well, evening train might be too late. Evening train, oh Lord, the evening train. Come on now, evening train might be too late. Back train and get your load. Well, back train and get your low, back train, you better back train. Come on and back train and get your load. Well, get right, church, and let's go home. Come on and now, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, you better get right, church. Come on and get right, church, and let's go home.
Will you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've allowed us to see. Thank you for everyone that's present here this morning. Father, we ask you to be with us individually and collectively. We ask you to help us to absorb the sermon that came from Cole through your word and help us to be more like your son. Father, we thank you so much for everything you do for us. We ask you to continue to be with us and guide us. Bring us back at the next appointed time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.